Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First. And with me today in the podcast room, we've got Pastor Glenn Underhill over to my left. How are you doing today, Glenn?
I'm doing fantastic, Ben.
Awesome.
And you?
I am great.
Yeah.
So glad to be out of the house again. We're kind of in the middle of a three-part episode deal, but coming off a long week. Kind of in the snow zone.
Snowmageddon.
And on the other end over there, we got Pastor Craig Etheridge joining us again.
Good to see you, my brothers.
Hey, you as well.
Two of my favorite guys right here I want to spend time with right here.
Yeah, got some cold Topo Chico. We're just living the life now.
We're just chilling here, talking all things making disciples.
Yeah, so.
Makes it good for a good day.
It does. It sure does.
You know, Glenn, I don't know if you saw this today, but some of your favorite treats were on another recall. Last season, we're in season four now. Last season, we had a recall of Topo Chico.
Oh.
Now I saw there was some rat items or mouse items with Skittles. That maybe there was some contamination with Skittles.
Have you heard this? I have, actually. Okay. It was a series of my favorite candies that got taken off the shelf for a period of time.
Oh. But how did you make that? How did you survive?
It was rough. Fortunately, I was indoors around my wife, who forbids me to eat that. So.
Don, she knows you have a stash in your office.
It is true. I do have an addiction to Red Dye 40. So...
Don't tell her about the podcast, so she'll never know.
Red Dye 40 is my friend.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, again, this is episode two of a kind of a two-part or a three-part episode series. We're diving into the LifewayResearch.com study called The State of Discipleship. And we talked in the first part of this, we talked a lot about some commonalities that we're seeing coming out of this study that we can relate to personally, that we've seen a lot as we've coached and trained church leaders. And so we just kind of talked around that. If you haven't seen that episode, go back and watch it. But really where we want to kind of shift to now in this conversation is we really want to dive into some specific metrics and parts of this study, but really focusing on solutions. How can we really help address this problem that we're seeing in the study? And so this first one I want to look at is really, it really kind of brings out only half of churches have an intentional plan for discipleship, about 52%. And those that do have a plan are kind of split on whether that plan is cohesive for the whole congregation. So let me break that down. The way I understand that is, hey, we have an intentional plan for discipleship, but we're kind of fuzzy on, is that a discipleship that's only exists in men's ministry, is only in women's, it's for our youth, they're kind of split. Should it be holistic? Should it be something, this discipleship model that fits in any ministry of our church? That's where this confusion, as I'm looking at this, that's where that confusion is emerging. And, you know, we talk a lot about terms and terminologies, especially with regards to like a definition of disciple, because people are fuzzy about that. But the other one we really spend a lot of time, and Craig, you've wrote about this a lot in Bold Moves and some of our other trainings, and it's this idea about wrapped around the word discipleship.
Yeah.
And that's really where I see as what's coming out of this kind of stat to me is that there is still confusion around the word discipleship and disciple making.
Yeah.
Again, if you're a new viewer, a new listener, we look at the life of Jesus as our model for ministry, for life, and really how do you extract this model from the life of Jesus and how he developed these 12 ordinary men into world changers? How do you overlay that into a church programming and church strategy? But before that, you have to see that there is a difference between what we have made discipleship, mm-hmm. What we've kind of pivoted away from disciple making towards discipleship. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what I want to dig in today is why is that critical? And what do you mean as we say that, what do we mean by that?
You know, I think Ben, we have to start off and say that the word discipleship is not in the Bible, right? It's not a Bible word.
Yeah.
It is a word to try to talk about the process of one being a disciple. I think that's what they mean when they say discipleship. Yep. I'm being a disciple of Jesus. And we were just sharing, at the break that discipleship in some spaces is a reference to just personal sanctification. mm-hmm. right? Spiritual growth in and of themselves. I was giving you guys a quote from Dallas Willard, and he said, discipleship is a process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you, which is an interesting, thought. Okay. If Jesus were you, then what would he be doing? How would he be treating Carrie, your wife, and your kids? And how would he be interacting with customers at work and that kind of thing? How would Jesus be living if he were you? And you're becoming that, right? So, A.W. Tozer also used the term discipleship almost exclusively in the way of personal sanctification, personal growth, spiritual growth, becoming more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think though, when we get into the modern era, right, and the common vernacular of pastors, they're not necessarily thinking about that. Maybe there are a bit. They're thinking about, well, for discipleship, we do these things. But they still have in mind this idea of, this is what helps me grow spiritually. So when you get to this report and you'll find things like, well, what do you do for discipleship? And they say, well, preaching, podcast, reading books, devotional life. Well, yeah, I mean, those are all things you help to foster your own spiritual growth, right? But that's very different than disciple making, which was what we see in the life of Jesus, where he is intentionally doing things that will produce not only just spiritual growth, but a movement of multiplication in the lives of these men. And those were two different things. So Jesus had a very clear process by which he did that, which has seemed to have been lost in the local church. We like to say that if everything is discipleship, then nothing is discipleship, right? Yeah. And discipleship is treated like a big bucket, and we're just throwing everything in there, and we do this, and we
anything
do this.
Anything that grows is discipleship.
Yeah, anything, yeah. And so then at some point, discipleship is nothing very specific.
Yeah.
And it becomes very subjective, right? Because, well, have you grown? I can't really tell. I can't really see, I mean, you went through this study of 1 Corinthians, but are you any different? I don't know. And so see what I'm saying? It just leads to a lot of ambiguity. The outcomes are not very clear. Yeah. What exactly are we doing is not very clear. And it's very nebulous and can be very head heavy, meaning I've learned a lot of this. I've gone through these classes. I've done this thing. Back in the day, Glenn will remember, 20, 30 years ago, we would do Discipleship University, on a Wednesday night. We'd have all the classes, and you almost treating it like it was a, university style type of thing. Been there, done that.
Right.
But did we see a lot of life transformation and multiplication out of it? Not really. So I think that's really what's being portrayed here is this idea that discipleship is anything that could help you. Most of it is head knowledge based, curriculum based, and cannot be measured of in any significant way of producing effect.
And it doesn't mean that everybody that's using the word discipleship should just get rid of it. The point that I think is really critical that we all need to understand: what do other people understand when you say the word discipleship? And again, one other thing to kind of point to add to what you're saying, it leans educational. It's kind of anything goes. It's not very specific, which again, there's a lot of that study that I don't really know if that my efforts are affecting spiritual transformation. So again, I think terms do matter. But the other glaring thing about discipleship to me is most people, when you say discipleship, they're thinking post-salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We would say that if you look at the life of Jesus, he was engaging people. His strategy of making a disciple begins before conversion.
Yeah.
He's engaging people that don't know him, that do not believe that he is the Messiah, and he's walking them towards belief. And I think that's where really a big gap in most discipleship, that thinking and mindset, is because you're already cutting off part of the work. It really begins at evangelism and it ends with multiplication, in which, I think, I don't know who give credit to, you or some other people that have written on this subject, but it begins and ends. Disciple making begins and ends with evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It begins bringing someone, kind of discipling someone to the cross, and then it ends with sending someone out to share their faith and grow and make more disciples. So I think that's critical, and terms are important, because who we're communicating to, how are, what are they thinking when you're using those terms?
Yeah, one more thing, and then we'll get Glenn in here. I think the point that you made is very important. I'm just underscoring it, that discipleship is often put juxtaposed to evangelism. Mm-hmm. And if I'm into discipleship, I mean, how many times have I heard this? then you're not going to be evangelistic.
Yeah.
And if you're evangelistic, well, then you don't want to be too much in discipleship, because it'll put out the evangelism fires. And I could not disagree with that more. I mean, Jesus wasn't, you know, one or the other. He was doing both, right? And so he was making a disciple, which includes evangelism and results in evangelism, but he was also developing leaders down a pathway. And so I just think that those words really matter. And I think that this notion that if you're too discipleship oriented, then you're not going to be evangelistic is a false assertion.
Yeah. So Glenn, if we went back to the study and we say, hey, which one is it? Is it, you know, should it be departmental? Should it be like, why does this term, why does the understanding of discipleship versus disciple making, why do you feel like that feeds this so much? Why is that feeding this issue of this uncertainty or lack of clarity that people have?
So, you know, if you're asking, hey, should a department do it or should the church do it? I would say yes, because I just strongly feel that both the church and its departments should be in alignment to a philosophy of making and multiplying disciples. And I think inherently what happens is what we often see is because a church still doesn't have a lot of clarity on what it's, you know, where it's going in light of this space, maybe another staff member or two will come along and they'll start to begin to develop systems and processes and things along the line to help that begin to take place, right?
Yeah.
Or that's what our men's ministry does, or that's what our women's ministry does. But I think as a whole, I would say it has to be holistic. It has to be a part of the DNA, which then everything else is built around that. So here at Cross Creek, right, we are very disciple-making oriented, and we really are working all the time to make sure that our congregational places, students, kids, adults, or our outreach or our community outreach and other things, all these things, men's opportunities, women's opportunities, all are coming under and undergirding this movement of taking people along a process to help them become what Jesus wants all of us to be, and that's to be a proven multiplier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we looked at this, Craig, if you look at the two terms, discipleship and disciple making, we're saying it should be disciple making. It should be holistic. It shouldn't be just existing under this discipleship department. You can have those, but it shouldn't just exist there. It shouldn't just be a part of your men's ministry. It needs to be, but not solely there. But if we're looking at the two terms, help the viewers and listeners, help them understand the distinction. What do you mean when you say disciple making? What do you mean? And how is that different to with discipleship?
Yeah, that's good. So disciple making is the process by which one makes a disciple. That's as simple as I can put it. If I'm going to make a disciple, then there's a process by which I do that. As we're going to get into this more in our next episode, but through studying the life of Christ, we found that there are stages or phases that a person works through in their spiritual maturation and growth to the end goal of multiplication.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to get to. We're making a disciple who will multiply. Mm-hmm. That's our end goal.
So let me just mark that out. So what you're saying is it has a clear end in mind.
Yes.
Yeah. It is a process. It results in multiplication. I mean, I'm just kind of trying to there are some real specifics.
That's right. So when you bullet point those, just like you have, then you can probably counter what modern discipleship is. It doesn't really have a clear goal in mind other than completing the Bible study or the course, right? That's the goal in mind. It doesn't really ever result in multiplication. I mean, I'm very seldom ever hear anybody talking about, we're going to take you through this so you can multiply. I mean, they're like, well, I just take the next course. And so we actually have that so embedded in our people now that they, whenever you go through something, they're like, okay, well, I'm done. I did that. Now what else you got for me? Yeah. And we're creating consumers, not multipliers.
Yeah.
And so this notion of multiplication is almost virtually completely lost, you know, in our modern church in America. So a clear goal in mind, you know, a process that, you know, builds with the clear end result of a multiplication. I think these are all elements of a disciple making strategy,
yeah.
Right? That's following the pattern of Jesus, as opposed to just the back to the discipleship university that really had none of that in place. And consequently, we never knew if we were being effective or not, other than measuring how many people showed up.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to the previous episode when we were talking about expectations from church members. Really, what our Western church culture has become. It's heavier on the education. It's an educational model. It's very programmatic. And this idea of shifting towards disciple making from discipleship is helping shift from those educational leanings we have, the programmatic leaning we have, just ingrained. If you've been in church your whole life, you've kind of been wired that way unintentionally. And, you know, again, people had great intentions and they were trying to help and do the best thing. But I think over time, we've just gotten a little off. But now all of a sudden, we're having to redirect toward things that are actually going to be effective.
You know, Ben, one of the things that has jumped out to me is we are seeing some of this type of thinking shifted in the recovery space. Mm. When you look at like Regen that we use at our church, or, you know, there are plenty of Celebrate Recovery or whatever, this is now not just information-based, but they're going to have to deal with their own character and their own behaviors and addressing their own issues and problems.
Yeah.
That's more in alignment with what Jesus did, as far as you're not just billing, you know, I just took that course. I actually have to deal with this in my own personal life. And then they start to see transformation in that, get freedom from some hurts and some hangups that they have. And then many times in the recovery space, they're asked to lead other groups. And so you do see some of that in that space, and they find a lot of effectiveness in that. People are like, man, they're walking with God. They're getting free from some of these things. They're multiplying their life. So you almost see it more in that area than the regular ongoing church programming that we see.
Yes, yeah, these practices, and that goes back to how you've stated it before, disciple making leans more towards practice-based. You're getting someone to a point where they can actually apply or yes. observe or obey the things of Jesus. That was what, my kind of abbreviated story is, I spent my whole life in church. You know, my dad was a deacon, mom was a church secretary. I knew all the right answers. What I didn't know and what I had never experienced was, and we'll get into this in the next episode, is the rest of that pathway, the rest of Jesus's plan is I had gained knowledge. I'd come to a saving faith in Christ, but I had never learned to actually put those things to practice. Yep. And when all of a sudden God plopped me here in front of these crazy guys that are starting to do new things in a Baptist church that had never been done, and shift groups and shift and add disciple making groups and all these different things, I finally experienced something different. And that's what I experienced. It was different. It was, how do I actually live this out on a daily basis? Yeah. What do the truths and principles in God's word look like in my life? Mm. Not do I know the answers to the questions?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I always like to say is that in church, most often, we equate spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, whatever you want to call it, spiritual development, with spiritual knowledge. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Jesus, the thing that stands out to me is he never equated it with knowledge. He equated it with spiritual maturity or spiritual growth, with spiritual fruitfulness.
Yeah.
And that is what real disciple making is about. It's a obedience-based model that moves someone towards becoming formed more and more into the image of Jesus, right? Yeah. More and more into his likeness. And you can't help but become different.
Right.
The more you reflect him more and more. I always like to say, it's not about being a reflection. It's just about consistency. It's not about being perfect. It's about being a reflection. Mm-hmm. Am I reflecting Christ? Am I reflecting more and more of who he is?
Yeah.
You know, I think about, let's just take a spiritual discipline like prayer. I mean, I've read multiple books on prayer. I've heard gobs of sermons. I preached gobs of sermons on prayer. That doesn't mean that I pray.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I could write a book on prayer and not ever pray. And it wasn't until there was a guy that said, you're going to meet me at my house at 5:30. And we sat down together and he taught a couple of things. And then he said, let's get on our knees. And he prayed. And then I prayed. Yeah. And then he prayed. And I prayed that I began to grow in this understanding of what prayer actually is, you know, and is that we have this bifurcation of what I know and how I live.
Yeah.
And honestly, the world sees that, right? You go to that. That's the whole point of being a hypocrite, right? Church full of hypocrites because they know a lot of things. They just don't live them out. And I think in disciple making, you're teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded you.
Yeah.
And that includes multiplication. And so you're helping people, as you said, even before they know Jesus, getting them to the cross, helping them connect with Christ, being part of the church, beginning to grow in their faith, and then actually training them on how to obey Jesus in certain areas that eventually produce multiplication and growth.
Yeah.
And I think the lack of multiplication in the church in America, that is church planting and that sort of thing, is a direct result of the lack of multiplication that's happening within the church spiritually. I think those are trending together.
Yeah, and if you're a church that uses the term discipleship, if you've never, or maybe you've even experienced some of this tension that this study is bringing out, again, this episode is not necessarily to cast shade or, you know, throw shade at you or anything. It's really just highlighting you don't have to just destroy what you're doing. We're not talking about coming in and flipping the table over of Western church civilization and doing all these things. What we're saying and what we're seeing and experiencing is that most people are only doing half the process. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into Jesus' process in the next episode. But what we're saying in disciple-making church still teaches on prayer and has a prayer Bible study, but they don't leave it there. They don't leave people with just information. That information is formative at a specific point in time.
Of course, very important.
But if you just leave them there, that's the problem. And I feel like that's where a lot of churches we're seeing that are more programmatic leaning, educational model that would probably, you know, that would lean that way, they're leaving it right there. And that's the critical issue, in my opinion.
Good point. That's where people are stalling out personally, and that's where the church is stalling out.
So let's go back to what we talked about in our last podcast, the chart, you know, where we had all those things where people, I think some of it is a reflection on the disillusionment of, hey, I've been through this. I've done this over and over and over, and it's not yielded.
That's a good point. Good point. Maybe the lack of interest is our own fault in some degree because we put forth only half a model that didn't provide what they hoped,
or they didn't personally see mm-hmm. real life because it was more based again on a knowledge base versus being more built on an obedience and a practice model that allows them to begin to really see life change. Mm-hmm. Really beginning to happen.
Yeah. To the point, just flipping back earlier, Ben, you talked about, is this something that should be in the church or in a certain department? Mm-hmm. I think kind of where we've landed, number one, at our church, we don't have a pastor of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Every pastor we have is a discipleship pastor, right? An evangelist mm-hmm. pastor, you know, that they're shepherding the whole disciple-making continuum.
Yeah.
But we do, so we do have a philosophy of ministry that we can, we'll dig into in the next episode of the pathway. But then we acknowledge the fact that the expression of that pathway may look different for preschoolers and elementary and high school and college and young adult and men and women. I mean, so we acknowledge the fact that while the philosophy is the same and the pathway is the same, there is some uniqueness or an expression in these different groups that we want to lean into.
Yeah, that's just such a great point. And again, we would just encourage you, as we're kind of wrapping up this episode, I would just encourage you that terms matter, that what you're communicating, your people, make sure it's not whether you use the term discipleship or not, or disciple making, honestly, it's really, do your people understand what you're communicating? If you mean Jesus' model of making disciples, when you say discipleship, great. But I would caution you that most people, that's a muddy term. And the more clarity you can bring through your actions, through your strategies, through your programming, through your environments even, you know, most people, there's no distinction between all their groups or all their Bibles. They're all the same. There really needs to be distinction. And that's really where we're going to press into in this next episode. So make sure you continue on with us, is how do you actually live this mindset of disciple making, this holistic approach? How do you actually live that out? How do you set up a strategy in front of your people? And that's the critical piece. But we do want to address that there is confusion around the word discipleship. And again, you've chosen, hey, as an organization, we're going to try to use, and as a church, we're going to use the term disciple making, because it may get people, what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity.
Right.
To explain the difference between that. So again, I hope you're encouraged by this. This episode's meant to just be an encouragement to you, and hopefully helpful as you just lead your church and to make disciples who make disciples. Because again, I keep going back to the study. That is the heart of pastors. They want to obey the Great Commission. It's just there's points of confusion, there's points of ineffectiveness, and there's points of where we're just not being clear. And that's why we're talking about this, not to poke holes at anybody, but really to add that clarity and help people think at a different level on that. So thank you guys for helping. Glenn, appreciate your insight. Craig, your leadership and insight as always. I appreciate that. So again, thank you for joining us on this podcast today. If you need anything, we have a lot of information for you in the show notes. That's a great way to, you know, see where this study that we keep referring to, the statistics that we're referring to, and then also has a link to our website. We have coaching with free evaluation available. We would love to have a conversation with you and just to kind of dialogue what problems are you expressing and dealing with at your context and at your church. And so connect with us there. That's what we're here for. That's what we love to do. And thank you again for listening.